Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Anne Richmond Boston, discussing her new album, I Should Be Happy. The record was actually tracked over 30 years ago, but for reasons that perhaps remain unclear, it was shelved. Featuring a wide range of players, including NRBQ's Terry Adams and Morphine's Billy Conway, plus Sid Straw and David Barbie, the record features a handful of songs not earmarked for the original release. We discuss the history of the record, some of the players involved, and a Jimi Hendrix country project that never quite got off the ground. That's Anne Richmond Boston on Into Music, coming up now. This is such an interesting story to me that this was something that you had worked on quite a while ago, and then it just kind of, it didn't happen. It didn't come out.
Yeah. And I'm not, honestly, I need to ask Danny Beard from DB Records why that is. I don't really know the exact reason. It's all such a blur, but I just know that it was all recorded and mixed and, you know, mixed to a point, and then it just didn't happen.
You know, if you can take me back to the time when you did the initial work on the album, you have all these great players on it. You've got all these great songs. Were you feeling like pretty confident in the music that you were making at that time? And like, this was something that was exciting to be part of?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, it was the quote unquote follow-up to the first solo record, which was, you know, The Big House of Time that DB had put out. And so this was supposed to be a follow-up to that. And, you know, we worked really hard on it and, you know, got Rob Gow, who produced it and engineered it. We did it at his studio, and we were married at the time. And, you know, it was definitely something that we were proud of and looking forward to. And then, you know, the bottom fell out somehow. And then, you know, years and years passed. And he just, you know, finally, I guess his studio closed down when everybody got to be, you know, having their own in-home studios. And so he was, you know, distributing out all the tapes and everything. And he gave me all the tapes that he had for this record. And so they sat in my house for years and years. And then a mutual friend of mine was said, why don't you let me get those tapes digitized? And I was like, why? but I said, okay. And so we did that, or he, you know, there was a guy in Atlanta that did that. And then DB sort of showed some renewed interest in it, I guess, within the past few years. And so, you know, I had it all on a hard drive. And so he said that he would cover taking it somewhere to have it mixed. And I mean, I live near Athens, and my favorite person is David Barbie, you know, and the fact that he even agreed to, I ran into him at a store downtown in Athens, and I said, so David, listen, I've got this record. Would you be interested in helping me remix it? And he said, well, send me a couple tunes and let me hear what it's like. And so I did that, and he said, yeah, let's do it. So then it just happened, you know, after 30 something years, I was in a studio for the first time ever as a person remixing, and I didn't know anything. You know, I'd never been involved in all that, but it was so much fun. He made it so easy.
When you started listening to it in that context, were there things that kind of surprised you or carried certain emotions or whatever?
Oh, definitely. Because during the time we were recording it, you know, Rob and I were going through separation and divorce and all that. And, you know, so it reminded me of all that. But I also felt like it really still stood up. And we didn't record we only recorded one word on one song, re-recorded. So, and then we added a few little instrument thing, you know, piano here and there, and some guitar parts to some other songs. And, Yeah, so it was definitely, but I felt like for kind of the first time I was making it my own, rather than a real heavy guitar record, which, I mean, he's a fantastic guitar player, but I just thought, well, I want to kind of tone some of these songs down a little bit. It was fun.
Well, you mentioned that he's, I can't remember if you said exactly one of your favorite people or your favorite person, David Barbie. And he, everything I know about him, he just seems like such a cool guy and seems like somebody that you would want to entrust this kind of project with.
Oh, definitely. Especially in, I mean, he's really even tempered and he's very positive, and plus we've been friends for a long time before this all happened. So, it was great. It was total trust and he had some great ideas. So it was a blast.
I'm curious about some of the players on the record, like Terry Adams, of the great NRBQ. How did you become acquainted with him?
Well, I don't, this is also real vague to me, but the way that he ended up playing on the record was when Rob and I were working, picking out songs for the original version of I Should Be Happy, a friend of mine, David Greenberger, who is a writer and a musician, he and I were good friends, and he had suggested a couple of his songs, and so Speedboat's Wake is one of his songs. And then he and Terry had written Who Cares as sort of a demo for someone, and that never happened. And he sent it to me, and I went, oh, this is great. And I said, but I don't know who I could get to play piano on it. I mean, the piano part's insane. Terry obviously wrote the music. And so NRBQ just happened to be coming to Atlanta to play a gig. And David, I think, connected us, and I picked Terry up at the airport. I mean, I was a, you know, I, he was like one of my favorite musicians ever. And so I went and picked him up at the airport and safely got him to this studio where that had a nice piano that, and we just went in. We'd never met. And we went into the studio, and I sat down on the bench beside him, and I'm sure I was shaking like a leaf. And we went through it a couple of times, and then they sent me out into another room so I couldn't even see him. And then we just did it, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I loved it, and that was one of the main reasons I wanted this record to come out, because that I love that song, and I love his playing, and it just meant so much to me. So I'm so glad it's finally out in the world.
You also have Billy Conway on there, who I'm a big fan of through his work with Morphine, Treat Her Right, studio work.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and his wife Lori and I have been friends since the 80s, when her band Face to Face and my band the Swimming Pool Cues met in Boston one night after a show. So they came back and introduced themselves, and we've been friends ever since, so that worked out really well.
So a lot of this is, I guess, as records are sometimes, a lot of it comes down to friendships and connections, and that's how these kinds of things get made.
Yeah, definitely. And several of the songs that are on this new version were not the original band that was on I Should Be Happy. So those are people that I had met in Athens, and we had gone over at one point. I don't even remember this, and there's no notation about it. I don't, I had to send the songs to these two people and say, "Is this you on this? Because I think it's you, but there's no notation of it." And they both said, I don't think that's me. But anyway, it has to be. So I went ahead and gave them credit. I don't know who else it could be. But that was really fun because Rob had recorded those at his studio. And then, so those were in the tapes that he had given me. And I hadn't, when I was listening back, I was like, wait, I don't even remember doing that. So I used some of those songs. But it was great, finding those again.
Well, tell me about the new material and how this how that decision was made to kind of add things and so forth.
Okay, well, I wouldn't call it new, but yeah, you know what I mean. Because I felt like that what I was going for, with just a less heavily, intensely produced or a lot of layers of stuff, they were several of the songs I had written which I don't even consider myself a songwriter really, but I had written when I moved to Athens and recorded with these guys here, and they were, very stripped down. I think it was a bass, guitar, and the guy that played guitar played dobro also, and then maybe a mandolin, and drummer. And so I loved that feel. I loved it not being so heavy. And so I decided to put those songs on there and take several of the songs from the original off, and then add just a little bit of piano on a couple of them. And that's kind of it. I wanted to make it seem more cohesive, I guess, but there's still some crazy stuff in there. And then that The Wind Cries Mary song was a recording that we made at practice one day in Rob's studio, and I don't even remember if that was on one of these tapes. I think I ended up having that on a cassette or something that David ended up, using for that. And we used cassette on a couple of things, so that was really fun. But there, nothing. It's like I could ask him anything. You go, oh, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, sure, we can do that. So that was great. But that's kind of how it happened. The newer ones on this record are like Give In, Dark Room, Torn Apart, and then Music Weaver, and I think that's all I can think of at the moment. Well, and then Wind Cries Mary. But yeah, so then it all just sort of seemed more thematic. It's all about longing and loss, a lot of it. So I Should Be Happy seems like an appropriate title.
I wanted to ask you about the Music Weaver because that was one where I, listening to the record, I was like, okay, if we didn't have this song now in the world, it's just to me, it's just such a great tune.
Oh, well, I just love Sandy Denny, and I had actually there were so Rob and I had played that sometimes live when we had a band, and then by some magic fate, we got to open for Richard Thompson a couple times, and just the two of us, and we played that song. I mean, it was just, and so I mean, it's always just been something I really loved, and we had recorded it, in one of those sessions where it was just those few people from Athens, and so I just thought, oh, we got to put that on the record, because she's definitely somebody that I've listened to a whole lot.
And you mentioned, of course, Wind Cries Mary. It's interesting, for you talking about that, kind of being done in a practice. And I've always loved that song, but I thought that the way that you were singing it, I paid attention to the words in a way that I hadn't before. And I really honed in on some of those wonderful images that Hendrix wrote in those lyrics.
Right. A couple people have said that to me. A couple people said, I didn't even know what the words were, but it's a great song. I mean, who doesn't love that?
So,
And at one point, Rob and I had considered having a band called The Hendrix, Hendrickss, where we were going to do all country versions or songs of Hendrix songs. And that was sort of the beginning of that, but it doesn't sound very country, but that was the idea.
oh man, I love that. I love that to be able to hear like crosstown traffic in that.
Can't you just hear that as a country song?
You just get like a, I don't know, I can almost hear Waylon Jennings singing or something.
Right.
I'm curious because you said that you don't really consider yourself a songwriter. Why not?
The whole idea of it is completely intimidating to me. I mean, I've always sung other people's songs, and so I just. It's something I don't feel confident at all about, but after, doing this again, after being able to put these songs on there, when we were working on it in the studio, and I was going, oh my gosh, I just can't, I can't put this on there. It's just, I can't say that I wrote it, but after they're there now, I feel a little bit better about it and have some ideas now for a couple other things, because I'm working with some musicians here in Athens now to try to, play some shows after this record. And they're completely up for doing some new stuff too. So that's pretty exciting.
You've been listening to a conversation with Anne Richmond Boston. Her new album, I Should Be Happy, is out now. You can learn more about her and her music via her official website, AnnRichmondBoston.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, KMUW.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@KMUW.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson.